Now, you'll have to give me the date today. I get on this automatic outflow of giving you the date.
29.
29. Well, what year?
1811.
That's the right year, 1811. All right. 29 June, 1811. And here we go with the St. Hill briefing course. And boy, I tell you, how do you manage? I mean to say, how do you manage? Anyway, I gave a talk earlier, which some of you heard, about wrong target. Wrong target. And I've said since 1947, really, and you'll find it in the original thesis, the auditor plus the PC, analytical mind, versus the reactive mind, you win. The PC versus his own reactive mind, yeah. The auditor versus the PC, analytical mind, yeah. It takes the auditor and the PC's analytical mind to whip the PC's reactive mind. Did you ever see any steam locomotives or electric locomotives or so forth go over to a grade? They keep hooking locomotives on. You know, they can't pull the slope up to the high hills of Birmingham or something. Well, they put an extra locomotive on. Did you ever see anybody do that? Did you ever hear that? Mm-hmm. All right, that's the same thing as auditing is. You're hooking on an extra locomotive. But why? Why? Why would you hook on an extra locomotive? Well, it's because the locomotive that is on the train can't make it. It's one of the horribly obvious things. See, the locomotive's on the train, can't pull the grade, so you hook another locomotive on and they pull the grade. All right. As long as your target is the PC's analytical mind, you're not going to win. If you're trying to clear his analytical mind, it will take you 75 hours to do a security check, 295 hours to do an SOP goals assessment. You get the idea. I mean, Scientology will work even in spite of that. But you want to know what the drag factor is, it's just that one, wrong target. I had a letter from Peter Williams today. He's halfway around the bend. That's pretty good for Claire. That's where the auditors have got him. He can't figure out what they're doing. See? I mean, he can't figure out what they're doing, you know? Well, I've had lots of experience. I can always figure out what you're doing. Not only figure out the human mind, you have to figure out what the auditor's doing. Because in all honesty and in all decency and trying like mad and through no willfulness on his own part, he gets a wrong curve on something, and all of a sudden, this fantastic amount of time begins to occur. Tremendous amounts of auditing begin to elapse. Processes which would ordinarily work don't work. What's wrong? What's wrong? There's a breakdown here in understanding of some kind or another whenever this occurs. You see that? All right, Williams had a tremendously successful course. He made it clear, made a couple of them, as a matter of fact, down in Australia, and it was no small feat. He was doing fine, and all of a sudden I get a dispatch from him today, and he's going, well, I'd almost lost hope, and then I got one of your tapes, and I'll go in again, and so forth, but this exact... I got a telex today from London, and Herbie says, that the auditors can't get any sec checking done in running routine one. Because it's taking them 2 and 3 hours to clear the rudiments. Well, all right, there's another one, just a curve misapplication. But it's a very simple thing. He's asking me for an extraordinary solution, which is wipe out the rudiments on the model session used for sec checking, or at least wipe out part of them. That's an extraordinary solution. See, you get driven to the wall, think of an extraordinary solution, next thing you know, you're not doing Scientology. You got the idea? That's the ordinary course of human events. Now, Ken was asking me yesterday about how do you spot, do troubleshooting. And I told you the first big pinnacle here of troubleshooting was, what the hell is going on? That's the big one, you know? Because there you're up against a tremendous amount of alter is and counter create. People are trying hard. They're not being vicious about it. They are understanding it to the best of their ability and so forth. All right? You're in the same situation when you're doing something like that that I was within with regard to life when I was trying to figure this thing out, see? Here's life with this tremendous facade of the super mystery and how you mustn't penetrate it and you can't and all of this sort of thing, you see? And there just wasn't anything you could do about it and all of these weird propositions. Well, that's because there's so doggone much alter is and so darn much counter-create that the truth of what life was all about had been totally obscured. You got the idea? So naturally, in relaying a communication about the simplicities of life, these things get re-stimulated, and people begin to look around corners, you know, when actually the cop is standing right in the middle of the sidewalk. So they go and peer around the corners, and they look up and down alleys, and they come back and forth, look up and down the road, and then turn around and bump into the cop. He's been there all the time. Just failure to observe some fundamental. So don't feel bad if you do this sort of thing, because look, I've been over this ground. I can tell you that I did it constantly and continually. That's what life was doing in trying to sort out any of its secrets. They weren't secrets. They were obfuscations. There is no secret about life. It's just the fact that life is surrounded by alteris and obfuscations to such a degree that you can't see life. You know, a fellow can't get his job done because there's so many other things to do. This is rather typical. You find this in organizations. You look around and you say, now, look, we want the halls clean. I'm elementary. We want the halls clean, you see. And one place looked nice, you know, public come in and all that. And the fellow has been hired just to clean the halls, you see. And there he is cleaning the halls. And you think... And you come in one morning and you wade through the dust over your shoe soles, you see. The next morning it's over your toes. The next morning it's around your petticoats. And the next morning it's getting around the waist. You can hardly get into the joint, you see, for scrap paper. And you finally say, what the hell is going on here? We have a fellow who is supposed to be cleaning halls. Well, what's he doing? And you ask him, what are you doing? Well, I can't do that. I haven't got time to do that. But that is your job. Yeah, but I haven't got time to do that. Well, what's happening? Well, actually, I have to run all these errands, and I have to mail, and I have to this, and I have to that. And you say, mail? What are you talking about? We have a man over in the mail room that's supposed to take care of mail. Yeah, I know, but he's so busy addressing and stamping. Now, look, we've got somebody over in the address department that's supposed to be addressing and stamping. And, well, yes. And you go over to the address department, and you say, why aren't you addressing and stamping? And they say, well, we just have to clean these halls. You see, data starts breaking down, you see, and it goes into a concatenation. And the first thing you know, nobody can do his job because he's too busy. And then you don't have any organization, you see. And it's pretty wild when you look at it that way. So that's what happens when you try to relay or communicate data about life. Life is sort of like that, you know. The government today is doing basically the work of charity organizations. Well, they are. That's what socialism is. Socialism is that perversion of government to a point where all social activities and charity activities are undertaken by the government, you see. And they don't do any governing. Try to get a suit tried. It'll cost you £10,000, and it'll take you about 2 or 3 years, and so forth. Now, wait a minute. That's the business of government, justice. You try to walk down Soho about 3 o'clock in the morning and come out of it unscathed right in the middle of London. That's a rather adventurous undertaking. Not as bad as it was, perhaps, but it's fairly adventurous even yet. Well, what happens? Why? Well, the government is so busy being a social worker, you see, it hasn't any time to arrest anybody or take care of the law. Is that the idea? Can't round up criminals. Well, why can't it round up criminals? Well, because they have to send them to jail. What's sending them to jail got to do with handling crime? Well, we're not quite sure, but that's the way it's done. But, of course, we can't send them to jail because as soon as we try to send them to jail, this is Washington, D.C., which has the highest crime rate, I think, in the world, including Port Said right now. You see, it's an interesting comment on a government, you know. I mean, that its capital city has the world's highest crime rate. That's really getting there, you know. Here's the center of Law and Order, which has the world's highest crime rate. You can't get the cops over there to arrest anybody. They won't arrest anybody. And the reason they won't arrest anybody is that people bug out. And bug out is a new cop piece of slang, meaning they go up, they get sentenced to St. Elizabeth by reason of insanity, you see? They parked overtime by reason of insanity, you see? And the judge, psychiatrist rushes them over to St. Elizabeth. They spend a few days in St. Elizabeth and they're released without any punishment at all. And the cops have gotten to a point where they just won't do their job, that's all. Why? That's because the government is so deeply enmeshed in social work that it hasn't any time to govern. You see? Now, it isn't that the government is accomplishing government with social work. Actually, it isn't. Because in a good government, production rises, the people are more prosperous, various other things are always attendant to good government, and yet none of these things are occurring. That's because the government's so busy doing something else. The government is attacking everybody who produces, which is an interesting thing for a government to do. Just get in business and you'll find the government setting up the Lewis machine guns on your doorsteps. Eh? I don't care whether you're putting yourself into a business as fixing shoes or fixing skulls. Same thing. All right, this is the off-postness of it. It's all off-post. Get the idea? Well, where are you living in a world where nearly everything is off-post? Everything is trying to force you to wear its hat. You see? And if you didn't watch it, you'd simply inherit all hats there were. And for instance, if we didn't watch it, in the course of the next 2 decades, we would be wearing the hat called government, particularly if I continue to keep overts going against it. And that is my job. And that isn't anybody else's job around here, see? But here's the thing. I mean, everybody wants you to wear his hat. And you're wearing everybody else's hats, and so on. All right, now let's see how we could short-circuit this so we didn't keep getting off the groove. And that is to say, in an HGC or an auditing team or any activity in Scientology, the person who is on the ground observes. The person who is on the ground observes. Don't ask other people who are off the ground to do your observation for you. I love Herbie dearly, but to send me a telex... Yes, he's in trouble, but he didn't observe. He didn't go down and look. He couldn't have. He leaves me in a position where I have to surmise. You see what he's doing. And because he hasn't looked, then I sort of interiorize into his hat. You see, he yanks my anchor points out 39 miles. Get the idea? And then I have to figure out, well, I can by experience, fortunately for him. But I have to figure out what his auditor's doing. Okay? What are they doing that's taking 2 or 3 hours? Well, in the first place, innumerable mistakes are being made. The first is that a person on routine one is not supposed to respond particularly, or is not expected to respond particularly, to think processes. And you're going to run 2 or 3 hours of think processes on somebody instead of doing a security check in the CCHs, you see? That's kind of silly in the first place. Well, the basic mistake which they are making is a simple one. They're just running the rudiments with the sensitivity knob too high. See, they're not clearing the rudiments for a third of a dial drop. They're clearing the rudiments for 16. And because they're doing security checks, then they think they should clear the rudiments for a security check at 16, but then they never get around to a security check. You know, do the security check by all means with an abnormally high sensitivity and check it all out with a sensitivity of 16, by all means. But that hasn't anything to do with the rudiments, see, of running the model session in which a security check is going to be done. And you set it for a third of a dial drop, and this is about the way you would run rudiments on somebody who was going through CCHs, which will run rudiments faster, by the way, than any rudiments process you've got. You say, all right, is all right if you begin the session now? Good. Is all right to audit in this room? Fine. Is it all right if I audit you? All right, that's good. Got any ARC breaks? That's fine. You withholding anything? Good. Fine, that's good. You have any present time problems? Oh, yes, you do. All right. Well, thank you very much. Now we're going to begin this cure check. It's just practicality, that's all. You've gone through all the motions. Because, look, you're going to be back on the CCHs, and oddly enough, if you really want to try it sometime, you can run a present-time problem with TR10. That's right, to say, notice that wall, notice that ceiling, notice that floor. The guy is very upset because his wife is going to kiss somebody else, and he hasn't been kissing for years, and he's wondering why. And you say, notice that ceiling, notice that floor, notice that wall, and so on. And the guy says, well, how do you feel about your wife? Well, it's pretty bad. All right, you say, notice that door, notice your auditor, notice the chair, notice the ceiling, notice the floor, notice the wall, notice that picture over there. All right, how do you feel about your wife now? Well, not so bad. All right, good. Notice that ceiling, notice the floor, notice the wall. That sounds like a funny way to run a PT problem, doesn't it? And yet it'll work. All right, you can run an ARC break the same way, unless the ARC break is so violent with you or the auditor that he won't do the auditing command. You could get into some kind of like that. So he possibly, in doing the CCH at some time or another, rare, very rare, but you might have to run some TR5N or something like this while bridging over into a security check. You got so many ARC breaks with the PC that it's better if you run 10 minutes worth of 5N, see, TR5N. But it's just wasting time, you see. I mean, basically, the CCHs, for sure, will run all the rudiments. The CCHs are senior as processes to all or any rudiments process. That's for sure. So on that all by yourself, well, you could see that this is the thing would all shake out in the wash anyway. And then look at your security check. Don't you suppose that's a bit superior to rudiments? Well, rudiments are just rudiments, for heaven's sakes. And when you're running a think process, you'd better have them awful straight. Third of a dial drop. Does the rudiment register on the needle? No registry on the needle at a third of a dial drop, sensitivity setting? Leave it alone. You understand? And clear it only back to a third of a dial drop. And then you've got speed. Now, I wasn't giving you a lecture on this particular subject. I'm giving you an example here. The observation should have been done on the ground, see? Then we could have figured out what they were doing instead of getting some extraordinary solution. Here's the next one that's of considerable importance here. This idea of the analytical mind. We say the analytical mind is kind of a misnomer because most people think it's some kind of a computing machine. And it's not. It's just the PC. It was a mistake made in early Dianetics and research. There was something there doing a lot of thinking and computing, and so I call it the analytical mind to differentiate this, because at that time we didn't know anything much about thetans. You got the idea? All right. We mean the thetan. Now, when he directly, personally, what is conscious of a thetan, and the attention units available there are attacked by the auditor, you're going to get no auditing done. Your target is the reactive mind. It is auditor plus PC versus the reactive mind. And boy, how have you really got it planned? This basically accounts for that 5-hour, 25-hour ratio that's been a kind of a bug to us. Works like this. As a matter of fact, Julia was the one who made this observation. She was doing a bunch of tests out in Phoenix, and I was taking on PCs, and I was auditing PCs, 5-hour intensives. And I had a whole bunch of PCs, one after the other, 5-hour intensives. And the days and weeks went by, and Julie got hold of a whole bunch of profiles, and they were the, what was not then the guidance center, but the staff auditor profiles, you see, for the same period of time, you know. And here was the 5 hours, and here was the 25 hours. They were the same results, you know. And she got a hold of this, and she pointed this out to me, and there they all sat in the files, and this was rather fascinating. I was getting results in 5 hours, and they were getting results in 25 hours, but we were really running more or less the same thing. When you see a wild variable of this character, don't assign it, as most people would in their overweening conceit, pomp, and prejudice, to how good they are. Anytime you say, well, the reason there's a big difference is I'm just good and they're lousy, you see. That would be a wonderful way to block off any further information on the subject. Well, truthfully speaking, where you have all of your auditors working like mad, putting in time, doing the same thing as anybody else, you're working like mad, putting in time, there must be something different. I didn't discover it, actually, a couple, 3 weeks ago, what the dickens this was all about. Their reactive mind was apparently choosing out the PC as the randomity. That's the idea. In other words, they were auditing the analytical mind. They were auditing the PC. See, they were thinking the PC is being aberrated, and the PC was this, and the PC was that. Don't you see? Well, of course, this is true, but it isn't something you attack. See, don't attack the PC. Attack his bank. It's this vast difference. Your target is the reactive mind. Now, I gave you a talk about this not too long ago, and here it comes up again. We haven't got this point yet. It is a big point. It's not a little tiny niggardly point. It's a big point. It was enough to make this 5-25-hour difference. All right, so therefore, it's probably enough to account for doing a security check in 75 hours or doing an SOP goals in 225-hour assessment. Right? That all by itself. It's just that one little mechanic that stretches out this tremendous, you might call it waste of auditing time. Now, if you could just correct this one little thing and save 4 out of every 5 hours of auditing, hey, that'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? That'd be quite a discovery to discover something that was that much. And yet, I've discovered this a few weeks ago, and I evidently haven't communicated it. Because you're still doing it. You see? To some degree, you're still doing this thing. What do I mean by this? What do I mean by this? I know Mary Sue's covered this with you, but I'm going to really slam it home here. You take an E-meter, and you look at the E-meter, and you say, have you ever stolen anything? Oh, wait. This is the first time you've asked the guy the question, see? You know? Have you ever stolen anything? Oh, you have. Oh, well, what do you know about that? Well, All right. PC possibly is saying, yes, I once stole 8 apples and I robbed a store and so forth. And he's saying, oh, you don't pay attention to that. That's completely aside and nothing to do with you. You're saying? You say, well, all right, I'll repeat the question again. Clause 16, Auditor's Code. Stay in two-way comm with the PC. Gone. But why? You're suspecting the PC of having stolen something. You're not trying to find ways and means of getting him to recall, ventilate, air, and get the dry rot out of the reactive bank. You're assuming that he knew all about it and has been walking up and down the streets all these years knowing very well that he has stolen everything and he knows it and he did it. You got the idea. He knows it. He did it. He is the bird. And that his only crime is that he didn't tell anybody. Now, you've short-circuited it one step. Yes, he did, and he not is'd it. And he's got it down in the reactive bank, and he doesn't even know about it, and he keeps getting these fantastic impulses to steal things. Now, when you do a security check, at the moment you ask it, because of a specific question that nobody's ever asked him before, he remembers it. And he will tell you about it ordinarily. Now, having gotten that far, you've just gotten that far on your own steam. You've looked at the PC, you look down here at your paper and find out the next question is, have you stolen anything? All right, you look at this and you say, all right, have you stolen anything? And the PC said, oh, yes, yes. Matter of fact, I did. I stole 3 apples and 2 bananas and a cartwheel. And I once belonged to the army, enough said. And so forth. Yes, I have. Yeah, that's right. I sure have. All right. Good. Thank you. He's answered the question, hadn't he? All right. You're going to ask him again. You say, well, have you stolen anything? Any wording you care to put it? And he says, well, yes, yes. As a matter of fact, when I was a young kid, we stole an automobile and went for a joyride. All right. You say, well, all right. Thank you. Good. Now, have you stolen anything? And the guy says, I told you all about it. That's, no, there's nothing more. You say, all right, now let's just be sure. Now, all right, we're going to ask you on this now. All right. Have you stolen anything? Oh, I'm afraid there's still a knock there. What else is it? Come on, you can remember it. Come on, what is it now? Oh, it's blessed if I know. I'm damned if I know. I can't remember anything else that I stole. Oh, there must have been something. There must have been something. I did nothing. There isn't anything else I've stolen. You say, all right, well, let's just check it out and make sure we're straight here now. All right, have you stolen anything in this lifetime? No, no. Okay, well, you've been a ready thief in other lifetimes, but you haven't stolen in this lifetime. So that's fine. That's okay. All right. Now, here's the next question. Have you ever buttered any bread, it says. All right, now, have you ever buttered... have you ever buttered any bread? And the guy says... buttered any bread? No. No. Nope. You say, all right, let's make sure. Good. Have you ever buttered any... Oh, wait a minute. There's a hell of a knock on this thing. Now, look, you can remember that. Come on, now. Buttered any bread? He said, all right, I'll repeat it. Buttered any bread? Look at that, for God's sake. Look at it. So he breaks out a microscope and a telephoto exposure meter and so forth, and he looks around. Buttered any bread? Oh, no. Oh, no. Well, yes, as a matter of fact, I was a... God, you know, I'd forgotten this. I was an attendant in the psychiatric ward when I was about 22. I'd forgotten that. Yes, and we used to butter bread in there all the time for the insane patients. Yeah, what do you know? You say, well, all right, okay. All right, now let's just check this one so we can leave it. Have you buttered any bread? All right. Have you buttered any bread? Yeah, well, that's flat. Okay. All right, now here's the next question. Have you ever been a student? You understand? Now, look here. This is a different demeanor. This is a different demeanor than the way you're delivering a security check. You're busy security checking somebody's analytical mind. I'm sure of that because it's taking you too long. You see? First thing I found out about this security check, you were taking latent reads. The only time you ever say, I'll repeat the auditing question in a security check is when he said, somebody else. You said, have you ever buttered any bread? And he said, well, my aunt, Guhusaba, you say, I'll repeat the auditing question. Don't even let him finish the sentence. The devil with it. You say, I'll repeat the auditing question. Have you ever buttered any bread? You. Oh, you... Well, no, all right, we'll check it. Good, that's all right. Come on, here we go. Got the idea. It's between you and the PC until what signal? There is a signal. No, that's right. You learned your lesson well. That is the signal. And you'll have nothing to do with an E-meter until you get that signal. Nothing to do with it. Put it under your chair. Sit on it. Butter it. Who cares? But don't have anything to do with an E-meter. Because you're cutting comm with the PC. Now, why you got that E-meter under your nose? I never security checked anybody in my life in this particular fashion, staring at the E-meter and looking at it suspiciously. Yes, you criminal. I have you sitting in the chair. I can security check the most unlikely people. Now, Why are you using any model session in the security check at all? Well, it's just better. It keeps you from yickety-yacketing and takes you too far off the line. It actually isn't really a model session action. It isn't a model session type of action. There's a lot of yickety-yack goes on the thing. You can close it, you can bridge, and you can use those model session factors. But I get people to talk by persuading them to talk in any media. I'm liable to say to somebody, now look, you want to know, you're afraid to tell me something about this. I see you now remembering something about it, and you're apparently afraid to tell me. Why are you afraid to tell me? Well, he said, you might tell somebody else. I said, right. That's fine. I said, I'm going, as soon as you tell me, I'll get Nate Siosek, and they'll put it on a telex, and they'll send it to all central organizations as an urgent. I said, oh, that's silly, you know. That's right, it's silly. Now, what have you done? Another guy says, oh, well, put in that light. Well, actually, I used to kiss goats. You say, all right, you used to kiss goats. Very good. All right, all right. Okay. Now, let's just check out and see if you've remembered everything there is to remember about that, see? All right. What animalism have you practiced with illicit dynam buying? Then a guy gets another knock, and you say, oh, come off of it, you know? If you remember this, do you know this right now? Do you know this all? The attitude is, you couldn't possibly know this and not tell me, and I'm helping you fish it up, and here you are wasting time here by holding, silly, you know? This is foolish. Now, come on, you did remember this. You now, well, yes, I was embarrassed to tell you. All right. So you're so bad off that it embarrasses you to tell an auditor something. All right, now I'm not going to jump on you for that or anything. Just give me this dope here. Let's get the show on the road, see? You know, that kind of thing. That is, if I suspect that he is remembering it now, you see? And then sitting there holding on to it, afraid to tell me. And then an ordinary tell, they start to look hunted, you know? Well, that's about as far as you ever go in attacking a PC. But just a direct assault on a PC to pick up that e-meter the first time you ask that question, look fixedly at the e-meter, ask the question in a rather suspicious tone of voice, and so forth. You're being absolutely certain that he's not going to tell you. What are you doing? You're cutting calm with the PC. You are actually encouraging him to withhold. You might as well say to him, now, I know you're going to withhold, and you know you're going to withhold, so therefore everybody's going to withhold around here, and therefore we're going to take five times as long to do a security check. You see, when you sort it out with this kind of an idea, of course he's going to withhold. Even if he knew these things, he wouldn't tell me. I go at an entirely different assumption because I'm attacking the reacting man. I assume that if he remembers it or knows about it, he will tell me at once. And I do everything I can do to promote that frame of mind. It's not just promoting that frame of mind, it's true. And by the time he's asked about the third question, you know, answered about the third question, well, he said, this is pretty interesting, you know. I mean, pretty wild. Yeah, you know, I can talk to this guy. And he starts going into session. Here he is, he's in session. I ask him the next question, have you buttered any bread? Never occurs to him for a moment to withhold the thing. He says, buttering bread, well, as a matter of fact, when we were very young, I sure hate to have this known. I said, well, it's going to be known now. Go ahead. Oh, well, when we were little children, we used to butter bread, you know, butter, and so on. Hide it from my mother. I say, all right, good old. How do you feel about that? Pretty grim. All right. Good enough. Well, have you buttered any bread? No, I've just told you. That's it. That's all. Let's see. That's no. Then, let's see. All right, now let's make sure we've got all of it. We check it on the meter. We're already reading with an advanced sensitivity knob. We ask him with the sensitivity knob advanced. And then we ask him with the sensitivity knob totally increased. And then further fall. That's it. We We have checked it out. We can leave the question. And it's just a 1, 2, 3, 4. But it is your role as an auditor to persuade him that he can remember and that he can tell you. And every time you make suspicious actions in the direction of the e-meter, you invalidate that a little bit. So the less those suspicious actions are, the better off you are. You sit down, you put the e-meter down, so forth. It's not an attitude, well, we're going to find out all about it now, because there you are walking around knowing all about these things and so forth, and that makes you a pretty bad criminal, doesn't it? Well, two-way communication goes up the chimney right there. How could it do otherwise? How could it do otherwise? No, you as the auditor can create an atmosphere, not of confidence, but create an atmosphere of communication. Don't create an atmosphere of no communication. You don't have to operate like a con man. You don't have to operate like a priest. As a matter of fact, I'm not above throwing all sorts of dunnage into a security check. On the basis of the fellow's looking very... You know, you're just asking, well, have you ever raped a girl, you know? Oh, yeah. Well, now you just remembered something there now. What was it? I say, what the hell is all this about? I'm not above saying something like this. I go, you know, what the hell is this about? Do you think I'm a Catholic priest or something? I'm going to make you wear sackcloth and ashes for the rest of your life? The guy says, oh, no, I guess not. Now, I say, this isn't 1620. They deal in. All right, now let's hit this thing hard now. Now, have you raped a girl? Now, tell me all about it. Well, all right. And he tells you all about it. And not because you found it on the e-meter, but because you just said, well, look at them, sighs and groans, moans and writhing. And man, there's something there, and you and me had better get this into view all the way and let the turbojet blowers go through the reactive bank, you know? Next thing you know, promoted. Question after question after question. He is more and more confident and feels more and more confidence in his auditor and feels better and better, and the knowingness is going up in all directions, and the e-meter is further and further away and is actually only used just to check out the last two checks. And you get so that you never find anything on the last two checks. You never find an additional fall, that's all. He's given the whole thing to you before you ever went near the meter. You, after all, are the auditor. And when you forget that you are the auditor, and no matter how marvelous a mechanical contrivance is, when you forget that you yourself are doing the auditing and that you yourself are handling the PC, you get a slowdown right there. It starts to grind, you see. Now, our next level of wasted motion was, of course, in this thing of latent read and letting the PC wander and so forth, exerting no control over his communication in the session. You say to him, well, have you ever bitten any snakes? And he says, oh, yeah, once upon a time. Yeah, as a matter of fact, my Aunt Grace, she used to bite snakes. She used to buy snakes down in the market, and she'd bite them. She used to bring them home and bite them. And it horrified me as a small boy. That's why you're getting a fall on the meter, or would get a fall on the meter if you were looking at the meter. And you say, whoa now. Whoa, 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 whoa. I ask you if you had bitten any snakes. Oh, no, me. Yeah, well, that's what the meter would be falling on if I were looking at it. Oh, well. All right, well, to hell with it. Yes, all right. I do it all the time. As a matter of fact, I did it last night. Bit one, bit his head right off. I've got to bite him. And you say, okay, all right. Now we'll check this one out. Anything more there? Nothing more, you know? I mean, the guy said, "Have you ever bitten any snake?" "No, that's the only one. That's the only one." "All right, we'll check it out in the evening." "You ever bitten any snake?" "Oh, that's right. Okay, fine. All right, now let's get on with this thing now. Stop putting on the brakes." The guy gets in a frame of mind where he feels perfectly safe. And actually, his anxieties in life are born out of the fact that he doesn't feel safe. So you bring about a tremendous change in the PC just by this attitude. The attitude alone can bring out a change in the PC. Use your E-meter when he says no. Until he says no, leave it alone. Check it out for the advanced read you are already using. Check out the question again for the most increased read you can get on the E-meter. And then, if you got nothing then, go on. But, of course, on the advanced read, not the most extreme read, you check it out. "Have you ever bitten any snakes?" And it goes bang again. Oh, I tell you, the amount of disappointment which I can get into my voice is histrionic. I say, there's a fall here. At least I told you everything. Oh, you did. You don't remember this one. Oh, all right. All right. All right. Well, let's see if we can find it. All right. I'll help you out. Now, have you ever bitten any snakes? Bang. What's that falling on? This lifetime? All right, it's this lifetime. Okay. Come on, spot it. You can do it. Come on. You can do it. Whew, yes, yes. As a matter of fact, I used to bring snakes in and hide them in the teacher's drawer, and then when she was gone, I'd take them out and bite them. Yeah. Say, yeah, all right. You say, okay, now let's check it out. You ever bitten any snakes? All right. What's the matter? Are you afraid of this subject or something of the sort? Yes, as a matter of fact, it drives me nuts. Well, come on, remember it. You can do it. Oh. I don't know. I don't remember anymore. All right, I will agree with you. You don't remember anymore. Let's see if we can find it. I'll help you out here one way or the other. Now, you ever bitten any snakes? Oh, it's a movie I saw once. It's a movie I saw once. All right, now I'm going to repeat the autumn question again. Have you ever bitten any snakes? Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's one. I didn't mention that one. All right. Good enough. All right, now we're going to check it out. He's told you what it is. Have you ever bitten any snakes? No fall there. Good. You ever bitten any snakes? No. All right. Okay, good. All right, let's get on with the next one. Get the idea? It's only when he says no, you use the E-meter, and then if you're using the E-meter and he's still saying no, you assume, not that he's really withholding from you, but you merely assume that he hasn't overwhelmed the reactive mind, this disappoints you, you see? That he doesn't just bang like this. He gets the idea that he should be able to do it. It's most remarkable. The point is that you can get him in a hopeful frame of mind. And maybe not putting this point across is good because it's not giving you an actual demonstration or something. But the point is that his confidence comes up and his ability to overwhelm the bank comes up and his ability to communicate comes up. Therefore, his knowingness keeps coming up and the security check will start showing up in your profiles like mad, and they happen rather rapidly. And after a little while, you'll be saying to him something on the order, "Well, have you ever stolen anything?" Fellow says, "Yes, so-and-so, name, rank, and serial number, and sold it to the pawn shop, and that's it, bang." And you say, "All right, you stole anything else now?" "No." You check it out, it'll be blank. His no's will be followed by a blank. His no's are not followed by a reaction. Early in the game, yes, his nose will be followed by a reaction on the meter, and you'll have to turn around to him and say, "Remember it. Think about it." On the sort of an attitude of mind of, "You can do this. It is possible for you to do this. I know that you can do this." And he thinks, "I'm doing something." "Well, yes, I am. I'm remembering something. What do you know?" "Yes, I am, and I can do it. What do you know?" I'm not putting any hypnotic charm on him, because what I'm putting on him is the fact that I've demonstrated conclusively to him that he could. by just insisting that he did. It's like getting an auditing command followed. The auditing commands you're kind of running is, recall all your overts and withholds, thank you. And after a while, why, they just go off like a streak of light. And it'll be very seldom that you ever find a knock on the meter after you've asked him to tell all. Then you can resort to the meter. You say, well, have you ever been a member of an armed force? You know, and he says, no. No. And you get down to a point where you get much more rapid agreement amongst the auditor. And this is when you leave a question, when you have total agreement on no. It's an agreement. The auditor observes it. The E-meter observes that it's no. The PC observes that it's no. And the reactive bank doesn't churn anyone up. And so it agrees that it's no. See, and everything is in agreement. There is a no. And you're promoting agreement like mad all over the place. You see, instead of the disagreement. The disagreement which you're eliciting is when you sit down and look at the meter and you say to the meter, you say exclusively, well, have you ever bitten any bread? You know the PC knows this, but is only unwilling to tell you. And you're going to sniff him out somehow. You're going to catch him off base. And the whole thing is being conducted in a sort of a paranoid atmosphere of super suspicion. You know? It does him good in spite of all this, you see. It's just slow, that's all. It's just slow. You can do security checks all backwards and do them all on the meter and stare at nothing but the meter and never listen to what the PC says and go out of communication with him, and you can still get away with it probably, and you can still get the security check system working. You can still get in advance with the PC, but at what time ratio? We're just talking about time ratio, and that's all I'm trying to teach you these days. All right, you can build up something else that gives an entirely different time ratio. And that is when you ask the PC, you ask him as a friend, and with the encouragement that he probably can remember it. If he has done it, he's certainly going to remember it. And then if he has done that, he's certainly going to tell you. There's no other thought ever enters your mind than that this is going to happen. And you read him a question, and only when he says no in one time or another do you check the thing out on the meter. And when you finally have checked it out in the meter, you've got four things in agreement: the auditor, the PC, the E-meter, and the reactive bank. They're all in agreement that it is no. All right, then you go on to the next question. You can do that with rather great rapidity because, as I say, he will keep remembering them faster and faster. It isn't that you see, it looks a different way. It looks like his confidence in you is increasing, so therefore he can tell you. That is not what's happening. What's happening is he is able better and better and better to overwhelm his reactive bank and his withholds and stare him right in the teeth and confront it and own right up to him. And when he starts doing that more and more rapidly, he, of course, is taking more and more responsibility, and you'll find these things are really blowing. He doesn't creep out of a session and feel like a cur dog and so on. He feels good about it, you know. And you get him back in the session again, you get that confidence inspired once more. It's really rolling. It's just a question. He tells you all. You check it out. It's a question. He tells you all. You check it out. It's a question. He tells you all. You check it out. And actually, it's just more and more easy for him to do this. And therefore, it's easier and easier to conduct a security check. And you'll find out that if it's conducted the way I'm trying to outline to you here, that you will get 40 or 50 times the number of withholds off the case. Oh, you mean you get more off the case. You said it. You get more. And he blows it faster. And it takes less time to get the more. You see that? Well, what are you doing? Slowing it down, see? The only way you can slow it down is be sure he won't tell you. Be certain that it is the PC who is withholding it from you. Be absolutely certain that it's only through the greatest of chicanery that you will eventually be able to trap him into a point where he has to run up a white flag and surrender with sword hilts reversed, you see, and say, well, all right, I've had a game with you, and so forth, and I give up now, and you've won the game. Now, look, that isn't the attitude which you're trying to promote at all. The other attitude is the one you're trying to promote, which is, you too can remember your overts. You can do it. You can do it, and there they are, and, all right, that was pretty good. And you know, it is all in an understanding of exactly what's happening. Now, you've got subjective reality on this, all of you. All of you right here at this particular instant undoubtedly have felt tortured at one time or another during a security check. You know, you were perfectly willing to tell, but the auditor didn't seem to be willing to listen. Or yourself couldn't quite put your finger on it, and you were trying hard, and the auditor seemed to blame you for not being able to put your finger on it. You know, and the auditor was blaming you, but you trying to remember, and you couldn't quite get it untangled, and the auditor gave you no help. Have you ever been in that situation as a security check? The auditor gave you no help to remember. That's because he's assuming, the auditor has assumed at that point, that you remembered, but that you were just being mean. So this is the assumption of a games condition in auditing. Don't ever assume a games condition in auditing. Never assume a games condition if you don't want one. You can materialize them left and right. You can materialize all kinds of games conditions. You can materialize more ARC breaks and you can shake a stick at. Now, auditing is as workable as the rudiments are in. Well, what about this? Isn't this a better way to establish the rudiments during a security check than going over them with an advanced sensitivity reading and plucking them all to pieces? I mean, particularly in routine one, when you're not supposed to be running verbal processes beyond a security check on somebody, trying to clear up his whole case by running rudiments and all this sort of thing. Don't you think that it's pretty apparent that these rudiments will just get ridden roughshod into the situation? I have to confess to you that rudiments go out to the degree that auditing skill is out. And as auditing skill comes in, the rudiments come in. And you take a guy who has to have lots of heaviness run on him, he generally is being audited by somebody who's audited him a bit roughly, see? And there's something going on here which isn't quite a good agreement, you see? So the rudiments are sort of perpetually out. Well, if you can see that a profile can be held up and made absolutely static by a present time problem, if it can be reduced by an ARC break, if these two things are continuously present, naturally the case won't advance very well, will it? All right? So the best thing you can do is to create the operating atmosphere in which these things can't happen. Now, if you are suspicious of the PC, continuously suspicious of the PC, they will happen because the PC isn't being bolstered by the auditor's confidence or the auditor's attack on the PC's reactive mind. You see? PC isn't bolstered by it. The PC is just drifting. Now, you see how you could really speed one of these things up? I'm sure you saw it earlier today, and I'm already going over ground, which Mary Sue is already very, very well covered with you. Perhaps it's a bit of validation to go over it again. But I want you to see it in this operating atmosphere, not as a mechanical thing, but as a created atmosphere that an auditor can create in a security check. And the basis of creation is simply, well, there you are, and you've got a lot of these things occluded, and you can't remember them, and we're going to find them, and we're going to ventilate them, and you're going to feel a lot better. And after you've answered a few questions, then you too will be sure that you can remember the remainder very easily. And the guy, you know, this kind of an operating atmosphere, he's remembering faster and faster, and so forth, and he tells you once in a while, I don't know if I wanted it. This is remembered too fast. You know, oh, I've come off of it. You could face up to these things. Have you ever faced up to them before? Well, yes. I faced up to them before. I must have faced up to them before. I did them. All right. Face up to them again. All right, here's the next question. Face up to them again. I can do that. Oh, bang. He does. Can you get some concept of the velocity involved? That is to say, the speed of advance, or the increased speed of advance that you could do with just this single factor. Do you see that single factor injected into security checking could enormously increase your speed of advance? Huh? You set yourself up as somebody that people cannot help talking to. You set yourself up as somebody in whom people have confidence. You set yourself up as somebody who can be confided in, and you do a fabulous security check. You set up yourself as a cop who is going to sniff out the crime in spite of everybody preventing you from doing it. And you'll have to sniff out the crime. I'll tell you, it's a direct test of how good an auditor can do this, how many times he has to resort to the E-meter to get it all. That's a direct test. The more often an auditor has to resort to an E-meter to pull the teeth of withholds, the less he is using with. So you yourself have a good test that you can use while security checking. If you find that you have to resort to the E-meter, resort to the E-meter, resort to the E-meter, you know, and did you do it, and you get another fall, you have to clear that, and you get another fall, you have to clear that, and so on, you have to assume that you don't have the guy's confidence. That's all. You don't have this PC's confidence. That's what you have to assume. That's the first thing you should assume. That's time for heart-to-heart talk. Time for one of these nice fireside chats. You say, well, what'd be the liabilities of telling me about these things? Ooh, you'll be told why you weren't easily able to bring about this atmosphere of confidence. Now, having brought it about, get subjective reality on this, you know? Having brought about a better atmosphere of confidence, trust, and communication with the PC, look at the speed with which the security check goes and how seldom you have to check against the E-meter. Well, what is this? It isn't the PC has become more willing to tell you those things which he himself was knowingly hiding. I'll tell you, he doesn't know these things. You've given him enough horsepower now, see, that he just goes into the bank one way or the other and the fur flies. He remembers this and he remembers that and he remembers something else and there it is and bang, bang. Oh, yes, he can attack that. Yeah, he can overcome that. After a while, he's saying sort of, bring on your reactive banks. Who cares? I can look them. Got the idea? It's the way the first clearing was done, was in that operating atmosphere. Well worth remembering that there was an operating atmosphere that had to do with that. It was simply increasing somebody's confidence over his bank. Increasing his confidence over his bank, and increasing his confidence over his bank, and they go clear. Not by running this or that or getting mechanical. They will go clear if you just increase their confidence enough over their ability to knock out the bank. Have I made my point? All right. Well, I hope it's of some help to you. Thank you.